This is your teacher, Dingley May, addressing you with his heart. Let us feel the spirit of wisdom embracing us together. I shall now deal with your documentary lesson number 7. Peace be unto you. Now, my beloved, I do trust that you have had a very happy week in the studying of your 6th lesson. You are making progress. You are probably making more progress than you realize. You remember at the end of your last lesson, there was the first of a series of monthly letters written particularly for you. You are coming now to know the way to acquire from the great storehouse of the cosmos the priceless jewel. The human mind is constantly attracting vibrations of wisdom. And as you direct this wisdom through your emotions, so do you form the habit of your own thinking. And what you think must, of course, come to pass. Must come out in your life in the physical equivalent of your thinking. Now, it seems to me that nothing is more easy to understand than the truths coming to you through mental physics. It seems to me that nothing could be more easy to do than the practices that you are called upon to proceed with in mental physics. Many people rebel. Many people feel, well, they can't do this and they can't do that. But, my beloved, I trust that you will be able to go along with a tremendous zeal, increasing your zeal week by week. Now, you are carrying out your first 7 weeks of work. Your first 49 days. Now, there's a magic in these numbers. You may say, however, that you are truly on your way. Now, if you turn back to your lesson 6, you will see on the first page of lesson 6 a prayer. Pray that prayer. Move in that prayer. Feel that it is the very song of the heart of the heart of you. Now, you have learned that your body is the temple of the living God. You have learned something about it in ways that you had not thought of before, perhaps. But you are now asked to look upon your body as an instrument. If you wish, an electrical instrument. An instrument that receives and conducts, through the action of your own life, the universal power of the Creator. Now let us see what this transcending declaration means. The declaration at the start of your 6th lesson. Study this very thoughtfully and imaginatively. Let us take the first sentence. Thou, O Lord, who art the life and support of the universe, who art dearer than life, purify thou my head. Now, my beloved, we can logically see that the Lord, the law, the creative wisdom, the infinite spirit, the supreme architect, God, Parabrahm, or whatever name we care to use, but that does not very much matter, is the life and the support of the universe. But what does dearer than life mean? Those words, what do they mean, dearer than life? They mean merely that there is something behind life itself. Something that causes life to be. Something that is hidden. Just as within the seed is hidden the power to make the seed develop into a perfect plant. Purify thou my head. Why my head? Because, my beloved, my head is the kingdom, the Father's house in which there are many mansions. Because within my head is located the physical means by which I receive ideas from the universal mind and ascend them out again into my own body, and then on out into the universe again. My brain is in my head, and as my brain, the receiving and ascending station, is purified, so will there be right understanding of the universe itself and all its activities. Purify thou my head, the seat of consciousness within me. And then, too, thou who art free from all pain, by coming into contact with whom I am freed from all troubles, purify thou my eyes. Why purify thou my eyes? Now think of what your eyes mean to you. Think that as your mind is made of ideas, idea upon idea upon idea, your eyes have brought to you most of the ideas that compose your mind. Many, many of those ideas are false, but you have believed them to be true. Think of how your eyes have led you astray. Most people do not see what they are looking at. We should pray that we use our eyes rightly, that we should truly see what we look at, that on the physical plane of life our eyes shall not deceive us, that what we see and store in our memory shall be right knowledge, so that our mind may grow in balance with the purity of the universal mind, that our eyes shall not lead us into temptation, and that on the spiritual plane of life we shall see with the inner eye, the third eye, the creative eye, the spiritual eye, of which you will learn later. For the time being, however, think much of the wonder of your own physical eyes, knowing that you are on your way to their right use with corresponding right understanding. And as you contemplate, you will acknowledge that most of the troubles of life come about through the wrong use of our perfect eyes, so that when we, through the rightly developed use of the inner eye, which comes through meditation, come in contact with the law, we too are freed from all troubles. My beloved, be patient. What I have just said is, I admit, quite elementary. But we have to begin by rightly laying our true foundation. Now, three, thou who pervadest the universe, directing and controlling it, purify thou my throat. My throat? Why my throat? Now, in course of time, you will learn through spiritual chanting what power there is in sound. The word is the sound of the universe, the deific word, the omnific word. Your word is your power. But there is a word that is more powerful than sound, and that is silence. We can only reach the silence and rest in the silence when we properly understand and rightly use sound. It is the same with every living thing. Every sound that can possibly be made by any living thing in the universe comes from the one sound, the Word of God. the first vibration, and so on. Read the first 11 or the first 14 verses of the first chapter of St. John. Now, we know that the mind is impressed more by sound than anything else. And the only way to reach soundlessness is through sound. Your sound comes through your throat. And you have the will to choose whether what comes through your throat shall or shall not be in accordance with what you know to be truth. Upon this question, you will receive much more instruction as time goes on. But you are counseled now to see that you do not waste your force in the making of useless sound. Do not talk too much. My old master in Tibet taught me one thing of infinite value to me. It was, have no tongue. Keep what you know to yourself, where, like all substances that generate power, it will generate within you greater and greater power. Use it only when you know that you are in contact with people who will be benefited from the use of your own sound, so that the benefit will come back to you and not be shorted. You may or may not see what is hidden in what I am saying. If you do not, that is good, for it will come in time. But in the meantime, you are asked to speak only when you have something well worthwhile to say. No slander, no petty small talk, no malice. Bite your tongue before you will say anything other than that which you know to be the truth. Then the word becomes the flesh, and you utter the truth that makes you free. Now the fourth point. Thou who art comprehending, purify thou my heart. From the physical angle, we can see that the heart must be purified for us to enjoy perfect health. But the meaning is much higher than that. The heart is the consciousness. The heart is the center upon which life itself depends. Right expression of life, then, depends upon a heart that is purified. The meaning of the word, your consciousness, shows you that every idea, every sensation, every action of your life must be in balance. You must be balanced and purified physically, mentally, spiritually, before there can be right understanding. Think poverty, and you will be poor. Think illness, and you will be ill, and so on.